Welcome to the Peer Advantage Podcast. This is episode 5030. Today we're going to do part five. We're going to wrap up our summary of the book, The Third Opinion, How Successful Leaders Use Outside Insight to Create Superior Results. The author is Saj Nicole A. Jonai. And we're going to begin with chapter seven. There are 10 chapters. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here. You can find show notes and other useful resources at the website, growgreat.com. Chapter 7 is entitled Early Leaders. Now, I said the last episode, if you are a CEO or a business owner or a senior leader, don't skip over this, thinking, well, early leaders, this doesn't apply to me. I'm not an early leader. You've got early leaders on your team, and you need to challenge yourself to become a better leader and serve these other leaders, these early leaders, serve them well. Early leaders tend to be immersed in mastering the basics of their job responsibilities. I mean, these are people that are at the spot in their career where they're trying to fit in, they're trying to understand all the dynamics of their organizations, and they're trying to demonstrate how capable they are to lead groups, to get the work done, to provide good results. And as they develop their outside insight resources, they really, according to the author, have two primary things to consider. A, they have to learn to develop a few key advisory relationships. That is, they have to begin to get regular doses of a third opinion. And B, they have to lay the groundwork for their long-term leadership circles. For advisory relationships, the objectives are to find expertise, develop your capacity to apply critical thinking, to break through real and perceived mental barriers, and to accelerate your own development from the experiences of others. Developing these relationships should be done in the context of your day-to-day work to help elevate your performance. It's about making full use of the third opinion. Improving exponential thinking, and this is a central theme throughout the book, that as we get to these latter chapters, the author spends considerable time on, appropriately so. Companies reward people who deliver results. And the ability to sort through all the vast data and information that's coming at us, to form assumptions, to test those assumptions, and then to communicate an opinion and offer some direction, these are critical leadership skills. And these are the foundation of expert thinking. But exponential thinking goes one level beyond. And there's some real differences here. And in exponential thinking, you're looking for hidden assumptions. And you're attempting to disprove. I think this is a big one. You're attempting to disprove instead of prove. Hypothesis. You're actively seeking out data points that don't fit, and you're analyzing the trade-off and the risk. Now, the author provides an extensive series of questions that I'm not going to dive into that are designed to help early leaders improve their exponential thinking. The skills are difficult to develop alone, and this is why you need thinking partners. Next, the author spends some time on learning to listen. It's never too early to develop a habit of listening in order to learn from others. I'll insert here. If our world, every aspect of our world, would incorporate more of this, wouldn't it be a better place? Well, of course it would. Now, again, the author provides a series of questions that every leader can ask themselves to improve this skill of listening in order to learn from other people. It's about learning to integrate multiple perspectives to improve your thinking. Now, I know we live in a world that doesn't want to do this. We want to be dug into our position. I believe what I believe. You believe what you believe. Let's not even talk about it. But feedback is critical. It's critical in helping you close that gap between reality and your perceptions. There's almost always a significant gap between how you perceive things to be and how they really are. Ms. Jonai mentions the various circles where thinking partners might be found for an early leader. Corporate contacts, academics, trade associations or trade shows, partners' alliances, job search contacts, alumni networks, and nonprofit activities or non-work organizations. She suggests seeking out thinking partners with a few people on specific issues. Keep it tight, keep it narrow, keep it focused, and be careful about advice. Like, well, here's what you ought to do. And instead, look for folks that are willing to engage in deeper conversations that will broaden your perspective. Now, she appropriately mentions that you should look to give as a thinking partner to somebody else. Now, let me put a note right here. The author does not spend, in my opinion, near enough time on this. The book is mostly a what's in it for me approach. But listen, that is completely understandable because she is urging leaders to incorporate these things into their life. And it's hard to sell. It's just hard to sell urging people to improve with a different approach. That is, seek this out because it will benefit somebody else. There's a lot of learning, though, a lot of learning to be accomplished when we're helping other people. And it's good to be reminded about that. Well, the chapter ends with a deep dive. Again, we talked about it in one of the previous episodes where she introduced her Star of Complexity map. This chapter ends with her taking a deeper dive into the Star of Complexity map approach to developing the skill to apply insight that will drive results. She illustrates it with stories. She has many questions, many diagrams to help the reader better understand her suggested approach. I will tell you that the word complexity is appropriate because I found this material worthwhile, but overly complex for my taste. Now, some leaders may find such an approach very helpful, though, and so I would encourage you, give it a go. I did. And, you know, that right there is just testimony to taking a look at an approach that might not be completely congruent with how you naturally go, and yet there's value. So I'm not at all negating it. I'm urging you to dive more deeply and see how it fits you. Chapter 8 is entitled Key Leaders, and this chapter does for these leaders what Chapter 7 did for early leaders. Chapter 9 is senior leaders, and likewise, giving advice on how senior leaders can seek and find their third opinion. Now, there are distinct differences, but all three chapters, 7, 8, and 9, simply are looking for at the vantage point of where these leaders are. Early leaders, key leaders, senior leaders. I'd summarize the major differences in two distinct areas, and yes, there are others. Safety and security, and expert thinking. That is, we need a safe group of peers who have no vested interest in who we are. And by that, I mean they don't have any vested interest in our role. Our job title doesn't have any impact on them. They are not beholden to us. But these are people who can be trusted. Peers with whom we can let our hair down and be vulnerable, and who will be that way with us. This is all about reciprocal behavior. Reciprocal behavior in such a group is critical. It's key. This is not a one-way street. This is not an all-give or all-take. Key leaders would not be well-served by being surrounded by senior leaders. Now, that isn't to say that senior leaders can't serve key leaders. They surely do, and they should. But we need to be surrounded by a diverse group of people who can relate to and understand us, and others we can relate to, and others that we can understand. I've been in meetings, and you have too, a senior leader, probably one in the room, and there are many things that the senior leader is grappling with that it wouldn't even be proper or appropriate to bring up to these key leaders, in some cases early leaders, A, it would be burdensome to them. They can't relate. And, well, that's the listen, being intentional about this can grow increasingly more difficult the higher up we climb. Hence the adage, it's lonely at the top. The key thing here is to develop these skills to seek and find the third opinion early in our careers. And if we will do that, then we can grow quite proficient later on as our careers advance. And so don't let the details overshadow the big idea here, and that is, admittedly, it's the tagline that Leo and I use in the podcast, The Year of the Peer: who you surround yourself with matters. It just does. And you got to be surrounded by people that are safe and people who get you and people who you get. Now, chapter 10 is the last chapter. And chapter 10 is entitled Conclusion, Greater Than Gold. And that's taken from a quote. The chapter begins with this quote recorded by Herodotus, 5th century B.C. And here's what he wrote. Only if there is an alternative can you have a choice. Make a decision for better or worse. And that will only be possible if an opposite opinion is expressed. It's like gold. You can't tell whether gold is pure unless you strike it against another piece of gold. Ultimately, it's all about human relationships. It's about how you develop and how you exercise your fullest capacities when you're pushed and you're guided by others. David Ogilvy is quoted as having said, "If each leader surrounds themselves with people bigger than they are, we will have a company of giants. If each leader surrounds themselves with people smaller than they are, we will have a company of midgets." People who have a stake in your leadership. And I want you to stop for a second. Stop and think about the people who have a stake in your leadership. And I want you to consider the scope and the scale of all of these people. And these are people who care about your leadership. And the author appropriately points out, they don't want you to go it alone. You impact many, many people. I'll go you one better. I would have you not just consider the people that you directly impact. So let's say that you're a CEO, a business owner. I don't care what the headcount is in your company. I don't care if it's 4 or if it's 4,000 or if it's 40,000. You know you must multiply it by some number, because those are just the employees, and they've each got families. I want you to think about the suppliers. I want you to think about your partners. I want you to think about the strategic alliances. I want you to think about all the people who have some tie, some tether to your company, your organization, and therefore to your leadership. It's a pretty big list. There are a lot of people who have a big stake in your success. It's also true of family and friends of leaders. You've got family and friends. And these people, they see and experience how isolating your leadership can be. They see firsthand the toll that it can take in your personal life. Every leader's inner circle includes these people. And here's what these people know. They realize that there is a limit to their expertise and their perspective to help you, because they're not CEOs. They're friends. They're family. They're not business owners. They might be. But as friends and family, it's different. The author confesses that she began her research about all of this to improve the decision-making capability of business leaders today. But here's what she found. She found it's not limited to business. She found that it transcended every area of life, and it didn't just impact a certain phase of one's career or one's life. It's a lifelong deal. It's a lifelong deal, and it's an all-life-encompassing kind of a deal. It impacts every phase of a leader's life. It impacts every area. Exponential thinking is not restricted to business challenges. The Third Opinion by Dr. Jonah. I hope you'll buy the book and give it a read, especially the stories, the diagrams, the illustrations, and her Star of Complexity map. It's worth diving into. I realize that leaders who find no value in diverse thinking, no value in exponential thinking, will likely never take a peek inside a book like this. But you know what? Those folks are not my audience, and they're not even listening. GrowGreat.com is not aimed for the comfortable leader who's uninterested in growth, improvement, or transformation. Because only the courageous leaders are going to be willing to go to the uncomfortable places that growth requires. I hope you are a leader seeking the appropriate and safe challenges that will propel your career, your business, and your life forward. You know, I'm fond of how Dr. Henry Cloud couches vulnerability in a safe relationship. You know, finding safety and security in an inner circle is a real big component of all of this. Dr. Cloud uses the word careless, and he doesn't use it in the sense of behaving carelessly, but he uses it in the sense of not having to filter. You don't have to self-edit. You know what that's like. You've got somebody in your life, I certainly hope you do, with whom you can be careless. That is, you can speak freely because you know that nothing you say is going to be used against you. And when you've got that kind of a relationship, you know you have found a safe space, a safe relationship, a relationship where others have your back and you've got their back, a place where you're both trying to grow, you're trying to improve, you're trying to transform, a place where you're both working hard to grow great. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the point. It is the point. And there you have it, episode 5030. The Third Opinion, how successful leaders use outside insight to create superior results, by Saj Nicole A. Jonai, PhD. I hope you enjoyed this five-part series about this book. It's just helpful. It's helpful to get the perspective of people that come from such a different place. I got news for you. I'm a business guy. I'm an operator. And my world was pretty dominated in what I would call street fighting, guerrilla warfare, retailing from the mid-70s forward. And mostly being small business, and I don't define small necessarily by a revenue amount, but by the flatness of the organization and the distance between the top and getting a decision implemented and done. And there are many of you out there, many, many of you out there. And it doesn't matter if you're doing $1 million a year or if you're doing $500 million a year. There are many, many, many of you out there. And the value of the Third Opinion, it just cannot be overstated. It is now at this stage of my life, it is the life's work. It is the reason for the peer advantage, because the value of the Third Opinion is, in my estimation and from my experience, and I come from the C-suite, I come from top-level leadership since I was 25. I'm now 60. And the acceleration of your growth, the acceleration of your improvement, the acceleration of your transformation to be a significantly better leader, producing greater results, higher sales, greater profits, higher revenues, greater efficiency, greater impact on the lives of the people in your life, professionally and personally. I don't think it can be overstated. You can find out more by going to thepeeradvantage.com. Hey, thanks for listening, and Lord willing, we'll pick up some stuff, and I'll lay down some more wisdom on you next week. Go out and make it a great one, and until next time, my name is Randy Cantrell. growgreat.com is the website. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio.